On a very special episode of This Is The Way Phase 4, the host will be played this week by Steve Lascalzo.
Hi, This Is The Way Phase 4's WandaVision Season 1 Episode 5 discussion about On a Very Special Episode. That's the title of this episode. If you want to take part in the discussion, email us to thisisthewayphase4@gmail.com or send us a tweet at The Way Phase 4. And you can also look for us on Facebook. And please send us some feedback. We'd love to improve the podcast any way we can.
It's all Wanda.
Is there anything new? Well, there is. The episode description is now available for last week's episode, Season 1, Episode 4's We Interrupt This Program. At the time of this recording, there isn't an episode description for this episode, Season 1, Episode 5. So, Season 1, Episode 4, We Interrupt This Program, says Monica Rambeau, tasked with a special assignment regarding sentient weapons, goes missing. So, her special assignment was regarding sentient weapons. She was sent to find Vision by Hayward, at least according to this little tagline there. Now, it really does fit, because where we last left off was Geraldine was dusted by Thanos, undusted by the Hulk, and we get to see her reform or reconfigure in a hospital next to an empty bed. She looks for her mother, but finds out she died 2 years after the first snap. Geraldine is, of course, actually Monica Rambeau, daughter of Maria Rambeau, friend of Carol Danvers, who would become Captain Marvel in the movie Captain Marvel. She heads to her place of employment pre-snap, meets the new director, is given an assignment to work with the FBI on a missing persons case. So she heads to New Jersey, meets Special Agent James E. Wu, and then she becomes part of the Westview Anomaly. We've seen how the show developed on the inside, but now we get to see how S.W.O.R.D. and the FBI handle things from the outside. Darcy Lewis is back. She's now an astrophysicist, a doctor. She discovers the frequency that Wanda has set up to carry her show, or at least we think that's what's going on. She leads S.W.O.R.D. to attempt to make contact, only to find out that Wanda isn't a fan of outsiders. And Monica ends up where we left her last episode, on the grass. Wanda, though, has a vision. A dead vision. And she tries to gather herself as they watch TV with Tommy and Billy as babies in their arms.
Previously on WandaVision.
Like other episodes, this one's going to start out with a previously on WandaVision section, and we see Monica reforming. She says, Dr. Harley, where's my mom? In a voiceover. Dr. Harley says, Maria died 3 years ago, 2 years after you disappeared. Dr. Haywood and Monica at S.W.O.R.D. HQ reintroduce themselves to us for the first time. Captain Monica Rambeau, Director Tyler Haywood. They're walking through a hangar. The program hasn't been the same since you've been up there, Rambeau. Monica's on the road to Westview, and Haywood continues. The FBI is in a tizzy up in New Jersey. James E. Wu and Monica are outside Westview, and he says, this isn't a missing persons case, Captain Rambeau. It's a missing town. Then Monica's at the barrier. She reaches in, gets sucked in. Some sort of energy field, she's saying, while that happens. S.W.O.R.D. camp outside Westview. Darcy Lewis taking measurements. My equipment registered an extremely high level of CMBR. Entwined was a broadcast frequency. There's an old school TV with the original broadcast from episode 1 playing. She says, voila, sound and picture. Wanda and Monica are in the den from episode 3. You are trespassing here and I want you to leave. And so Wanda ejects Rambeau from town, and we see Vision over Wanda's shoulder in a shot, and she's saying she's gone. She didn't belong here, but that's an alternate take. That's not exactly how it went down in the episode. And then we see Rambeau on her back on the ground looking up to camera saying it's all Wanda. And then we see Wanda and Vision and the boys on the couch. The Marvel Studios title sequence then appears, and it appears to be unaltered. And then we have somewhat of a cold open, an exterior shot in color. The home has no hedges now. The exterior does not match the interior. If you look at the makeup of the house, the way that the house is inside from the front door just doesn't match. But it doesn't really matter because it's TV, right? Wanda enters the living room with Tommy in her arms, who's crying, as babies often do. She can't get him to sleep. She says she wants sleep. And let me tell you, if you're a parent, you understand sleep deprivation is awful. She makes a joke about Tommy being her favorite of the twins. It's Billy, though, who's most like her in powers, but that's sometimes the way with mothers and sons, right? Vision comes down with Billy in his arms from the stairs, and same no sleep deal. He laughs off Wanda's comment saying, oh, don't be silly, we love you both equally. The set's very reminiscent of Family Ties here, with elements of Growing Pains in there. Vision says he tried reading Charles Darwin's The Descent of Man to Billy, but it made him cry even harder. And if you know what The Descent of Man deals with, it, unsurprisingly, when talking about Darwin, evolution from apes to man and intelligence being the reason for the advancement. So being a synthezoid like he is, it's, you know, kind of apropos. Wanda sends Vision to get pacifiers, but it's a ruse to get him out of sight to try and control her sons with magic. Now, she was unable to control herself when it came to creating the butterflies, the live stork, or making the stork disappear, and she fails again with her magic here twice. The second time, they start laughing. She says she doesn't think it's very funny, and why won't you do what I want? Which, wow, I mean, as a parent, you could say that, but this has a lot of extra meaning on it because of her magic capabilities, right? Vision comes back, pacifiers in his ears like a Frankenstein's monster. The babies quiet down for just a moment, and then they spit them up into the air in unison like a TV trope would. Wanda asks what they're doing wrong, which Vision says maybe they just need some more time to get to know one another. And that's pretty important, too. Like, their parents, after a very short time, being able to be prepared for it. But Wanda wonders if they need help. On cue, the doorbell rings. It's Agnes in some 80s workout clothes. She says she was on her way to Jazzercise when she heard the babies crying. Okay, I mean, that's possible. She says, don't worry, Auntie Agnes is here. And she has some tricks up her sleeve. Tricks up her sleeve? That's kind of like what a magician would do. Somebody who knows magic, right? Well, Vision doesn't appear comfortable. And the interruption of Agnes totally throws her off. She appears disturbed by being told she wasn't needed by Vision. She asks Wanda if she wants to try the take again, because she was under the impression that that's what she wanted. So she says, you know, should we take it from the top? Which is like a fourth wall breaking kind of a deal, right? Vision's very confused now. Wanda slightly, but she says, don't be silly, Vision. Let's let Agnes give it a try. But it comes off more as like a command. Like when she said, Vision, help him in episode one. Agnes laughs, goes back to her script, and makes a joke about buns of steel. But Vision pulls Wanda aside to discuss what just happened. She's not really worried or aware of what happened. At least it doesn't seem that way. They look over at Agnes with the children, and she's spraying lavender on them. And she says something about it. You know, it's supposed to calm them. Now, I did a pretty quick Google search about witchcraft and lavender to see what I could find. And here's what I found. As for magical uses for lavender, it's associated with dreams. Promotes relaxation when put in a sleep sachet. It's used in beauty and glamour spells, and when burned, can lead to heightened psychic awareness. It has a calming effect against people in conflict. When boiled, it can drive out negative spirits from a home. When baked into an edible item with a kitchen spell, it can lead to peace with someone who eats it. And as a dream salve, it can be used to prevent nightmares with children as a protection bomb. Nightmare is a Marvel villain, I believe. Now, there's more. It was often used to mask the smell of the dead historically, and it's been scientifically proven when vaporized and smelled that it does have a calming effect, just as Agnes says. And witchcraft uses include love and fertility potions, purification rituals, peace spells, and to promote sleep. And all of that is just from a pretty rudimentary Google search of uses for witchcraft of lavender. So it's not like I believe all these things. I'm just telling you that's, you know, if you look into witchcraft and lavender, that's the kind of things that you're going to find out. And so I don't think that it was an accident that she's spraying this lavender. She could have been spraying anything on them, right? But she's spraying lavender on them. Agnes says Ralph sprays on her every night, but there's no taming this tiger. She evokes a tiger, which may or may not. I mean, there's a tiger that's on the dining room table, a little toy tiger later. So there's a lot of animal imagery throughout the show. Giraffes and the stork. There's a whole bunch of animals. If you freeze frame their kitchen, you can see pans, like baking pans of different shapes of animals. Very weird, kind of nature-y. Which may also be kind of a thing to do with witchcraft. Vision says it's strange. Wanda defends her. He asks, did you really not see what I just saw? They get distracted by Agnes, who's now looking for dark liquor. She says, not for her, but for the kids, which is kind of disturbing. But Wanda again defends her, saying she's just being neighborly. And then the crying stops.
They finally fell asleep.
They're empty.
Then where are the twins?
Mommy? Daddy?
The twins are standing behind them at the base of the stairs. And now they're age 5. While they try to figure it out, Agnes is on the divider between the kitchen and dining room. She's sitting there with a glass of alcohol. She says, kids,
can't control them, no matter how hard you try.
Wanda and Vision pick up their kids, and then we get into the WandaVision title sequence. It starts out like Family Ties. It's got a paintbrush and an outline of a portrait, but the brush isn't moved by a hand. It's moved by Wanda's magic and is glowing, it's red, and it gradually turns Vision's face red. So now, again, we've got that big red focus of all the magic, and there's something to do with the color red that has everything to do with the show. It's her magic, it's Vision, his skin color, right? It's the barrier. There's so much that's red. It's really interesting how they always seem to find a way to insert that little nod that both goes with the 80s theme, but also is a tip off if you look really hard for it. We get to see postcards of New Jersey, see a silenced action shot of Wanda, very 80s intro with the music sung over it, leading into progressing photos of Wanda as she grew up in Sokovia from a little baby to a young girl and you know, beyond. And then it's so starring Wanda Maximoff, and her portrait part has been colored in. Then we see a silenced close-up of Vision speaking, and it leads into shots of him as a baby. But, of course, we know he wasn't a baby. He's got stuffed animals around him, a bear and a monkey, and he ages up, and see his portrait colored in. But remember, he was made in a lab, right? We get to see a family running shot in the town square, very full house. Shots of Vision dressed as haughty animals, a turkey, rabbit, then Santa Claus. And in each one of the shots, he gets more serious from the first of the set to the last. There's like 3 shots of him in a turkey, rabbit, Santa Claus outfit. And he starts out kind of happy, and then he gets more serious in each one of those series. We see Billy and Tommy in front of an aquarium. So they're like superimposed over a fishbowl, basically. It's like them trapped in a fishbowl, right? Then we see shots of Tommy, the boy in green. Ages up to age 5, is colored in portion of the painting. Then Billy's turn, the boy in red, aging and finishing with his portrait colored in. We get to see birthday cake photo burst where the cake has ages 1 through 5 and candles on it. And remember, it's a burst, but it's not 1 through 5. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 all on the same cake because they just turned from babies to 5-year-olds in 1 second. Wanda throws down a kitchen towel in the kitchen where the sink is bubbled over, but we see that in the show. That plays a big part in the plot. Wanda and Vision kiss, and then we see them silently saying no to someone off camera, maybe the boys. Then there's a picnic scene at the town gazebo that pulls out like the picnic scene at the end of the intro to Full House, which may be it's probably very much likely a nod to Elizabeth Olsen's sisters, Mary, Kate, and Ashley. And then the portrait has finished painting, and we get a static audio cue at the end of the song. And the song, once again, done by the people who did the Frozen movie soundtrack, really well done. And I'll read to you the words. Forces may try to pull us apart, but nothing can faze me if you're in my heart. Crossing our fingers, singing a song, we're making it up as we go along. Through the highs and lows, we'll be right, we'll be wrong, we'll be making it up as we go along. And there will be days we won't know which way to go, but we'll take it higher. You're all I desire. When the going gets tough, when push comes to shove, we're making it up because we got love. At this point in the show, we're 8 minutes since the Disney Plus logo arc that plays when you start playing the episode to now. So I've done a lot of talking, but we're only 8 minutes into the show, and we're in the real world now. In the real world, Monica's on a bed or a gurney in one of the base camp tents, swords set up outside the Westview anomaly. We hear voiceover of her answering Director Hayward's questions, where she says she was in pain, had Wanda's voice in her head, and he asks her if she tried to resist. She says a hopeless feeling was keeping her down, like drowning. She says it was grief. It's something she knows, right? She's experienced, and we're shown that through the clips that are intercut with her looking up at the hospital equipment. She wants to get cleared by the military medical personnel looking over, but not until the readings are available and her clothes are under analysis. Jimmy Woo and Darcy Lewis come in. There's a briefing in 10 minutes, and Darcy brings Pants and her fandom with her. She's introduced to Monica, who hasn't met her, but remember, Darcy was kind of into the show that she was analyzing. The doctor says something's wrong with the machine. The readings all appear white, like she's absorbing all the radiation. So if it was an X-ray, all white means not just her bones, but her skin absorbed all the radiation, because that's what an X-ray does. Monica doesn't want to stay for another blood draw and more tests, so she's out. I don't even think if she's got that kind of pull over doctor's orders, even as a captain or whatever she is. But maybe this was all voluntary at the start. So maybe it was just a voluntary medical examination. I find that hard to believe, but she says she's done. At the briefing, Hayward calls it a crisis, says thanks to Captain Rambo, they now have first-person intel from inside the anomaly, but that Wanda, originally viewed as a victim, is now believed to be the victimizer. Hayward tosses the briefing to Wu, who gives a background on Wanda, born in Sokovia in 1989 to Irina and Oleg Maximov. Not sure if that goes with the comics. They were killed in an air raid on March 31st, 1999, according to the screenshots of the newspapers. Pietro and Wanda were 10 at the time. Hayward interrupts, says the twins then volunteered to Hydra and were radicalized. Wu says that's an oversimplification. Continues to say they were experimented on using the Mind Stone, which is where Wanda got her telekinetic and telepathic abilities. The screen says she's a 5'6 female. Says her status is enhanced but inactive, and that her abilities are listed as neuroelectric interfacing, telekinesis, and mental manipulation. Hayward interrupts again and asks Jimmy if she has an alias, and I think he knows she does, right? It's the Scarlet Witch, but Jimmy says, no, sir. Hayward then asks again, like he's like, she doesn't have a funny nickname or anything? And Jimmy replies, not a one, but of course we know that Disney at first could not use Scarlet Witch as her nickname because of agreements with how they get to use Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. They couldn't call them that. They had to call them Wanda Maximoff and Pietro. And I think he was just trying to get Wu to call her the Scarlet Witch as well, just like to demonize her or dehumanize her. Hayward's got a thing against her. He brings up that she used her powers against the Avengers. Wu defends her, saying she soon earned their trust and became one herself. Hayward has images ready to go from Lagos in Germany, where Wanda caused destruction, even if only by accident. Hayward takes back over the briefing to talk strategy and drops the word terrorist. Rambo takes a little offense to that. Hayward points out that by her own account, Wanda was controlling her, and it had been excruciating, terrifying, a violation. He then plays her scene from episode 3 that leads up to her expulsion by Wanda. Maybe it's to tick her off. She responds, she doesn't believe she has a political motivation, but maybe Hayward does. Maybe he wants to keep his job or any inclination toward destruction. The back and forth has Hayward giving facts, and Rambo interprets those facts in a way that benefits Wanda. So in one sense, he's just doing his job, and Rambo is the one that's explaining things away. But, you know, we're inclined to believe Wanda over this guy Hayward. One of the suppositions is that Wanda quarantined herself, and in this day and age, we all know what that's like, don't we? Rambo doesn't believe it was premeditated aggression. Interestingly, though, Hayward has yet another video ready. He says he received authorization that morning to share highly sensitive material from Sword HQ. Authorization from whom? If he's in charge of Sword, then who's in charge of him? And are we sure that this is authentic video? I mean, he's got all this stuff ready to go. Like, maybe he doctored the video. It was the top secret location, though, for Vision's corpse, apparently. 9 days prior, Wanda entered HQ. He says, stormed the facility, stole the body, resurrected him. You know, very inflammatory language. A team is working on parts of the dissembled body we see in the video, and I don't know how Wanda discovered that that was where that was at that moment, but what made her suddenly go there, and what drove her to suddenly just take his body? Wu points out that's in violation of Section 36B of the Sokovia Accords, But, I mean, who cares? She's an Avenger, right? And this is one of their fallen. I mean, it really seems weird that that would be, like, stealing Vision's body is a violation of a section of the Sokovia Accords? Or is that his section? Or is it a section about any dead bodies? Or using him or any of the other Avengers as a weapon? Hayward adds on, though, and the Vision's own living will. Well, now that's a little different. If Vision said that he didn't want his, you know, body being used or stolen or anything like that, but I think it's much more likely that he didn't want his body used as a weapon, right? So what's Sword doing, and who authorized that, and why is Hayward now all of a sudden upset that his quote-unquote property went missing, right? And Wu's right there pointing it out, and Hayward does admit it was in grief that she disregarded his wishes, but after the meeting, Wu wonders how could she do it at all without the Mind Stone, right? Dr. Lewis points out he's the world's only vibranium synthesoid, and she's made him into a father in suburbia. I think she said father knows best. And
what happens when he learns the truth?
So we head back inside the anomaly. The scene pushes into an old school tube TV set, and then we're back in the WandaVision 80s kitchen. Tommy and Billy stand at the sink. Suds are everywhere. They want to clean something, so Wanda will let them keep him. Wanda comes in, sees right through their deception, making a human wall, she says, in front of the sink. So now we maybe get confirmation that they're human, not half-synthesoid. They're special humans, right? But they're at least not half-synthesoid, according to their mother. She hasn't had much time to adjust to being a mother, though. She's really only playing one on TV, like, playing what one would be like. She hears a bark, discovers a puppy. The boys say they found him outside, crying, alone. Vision enters and isn't fazed too much by the puppy. Sorry for the pun. He is wearing a human face now. He says because he has a hunch someone might pop over. And he's right. He also notes that the visitor, Agnes, has exactly the item they require at that moment, a doghouse. Now, even if she saw the puppy from her kitchen window, as she says, she just had a new, unused doghouse ready to go. Agnes asks if they named it yet, and after the boys suggest Sniffy, the dog heads to an outlet, sparks fly, and then she suggests Sparky. Wanda makes it official, magicking a dog collar out of thin air. Agnes appeared to be hunched over, though, at the time, not looking, after the shot goes from a close-up to a medium shot, but Vision is, like, surprised. Wanda's getting real nonchalant. She says she's tired of hiding. Vision says that's not their agreement, and though usually they're of the same mind, she's not. And maybe that's because someone is controlling her mind or altering it. The boys then ask if they can keep the dog. Vision and Wanda confer. They say they won't be ready until they are 10. The boys look at each other. Vision and Wanda sense what's coming. They go, no, 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 no. The boys age themselves up. Agnes very obviously sees this because she says, let's just hope this dog stays the same size.
Wait no, now, no, hang on there minute, you young whippersnappers.
Let's just hope this dog stays the same size.
Woof, woof. We go back to base camp. A very chipper Agent Wu is carrying coffee, and it's not really important to the scene. It's just a great little bit of character work from him. He's not cold. He's not menacing. He's not dumb. He's just a nice guy. He's happy to be doing what he does. And he brings cheer and coffee to others. Like Darcy, remember, was asking the first episode we saw her, she was asking everybody, you know, could a girl get some coffee here? Well, he does bring her coffee, and he brings one for Monica, too. Monica's holding her own sort of meeting with Lewis, discussing what they need to get back inside the anomaly. She says, 10,000-pound fallout shelter made of lead for photons. And her character in the comic books is Photon, right? Or at least one of them, one of her aliases. Cadmium for neutrons, tantalum for seismic blasts, and oh yeah, it's got to be on wheels. Wu arrives, asks what he missed. The twins aging up is what I think they say. Holy Christmas, he says. Wanda and Vision will be empty nesters by dinner time. Monica then thinks of an aerospace engineer who'd be up for the challenge of all those things in one, and she texts this person. It'd be really interesting to see if we end up seeing who that person is. Lewis points out, even if she gets inside the hex, might mind wipe her as she goes in. Now, here, Lewis is claiming to come up with the word hex because of the hexagonal shape of the barrier, but it's also a nod to the kind of magic that Scarlet Witch performs, right? She performs hexes in the comic books, and here they call the hexagonal shape hexes, right? And maybe that's really descriptive of what her magic is. Maybe the whole magic thing is, you know, how the spaceships traveled in some of the other, in like Guardians of the Galaxy, they traveled through hexagonal shapes. Maybe she's creating pocket dimensions or wormholes in space and time with her magic. And that's what's really going on. And that's why they're called hexes, short for hexagonals or something like that.
Starting to catch on.
Now, Wu wonders if they identified the miners. He's referring to Billy and Tommy or the babies yet. He refers to two different sets. I don't know if he just doesn't get it or if he's giving the benefit of the doubt. But as I've been saying now, they're the only two kids or even the sign of kids that we've seen. And the only mention of any kind of children was in Westview Elementary talent show where in episode 2, they said, you know, for the children. But Monica says, no, they're Wanda's. Everything in there's real. Wu, though, points out she manipulates people's perceptions. Lewis said she'd have to be willing and insane, and she uses the word insane, so like crazy, you know, like mentally unstable amount of power, an insane amount of power that far exceeded anything she'd known or shown before. Monica says she could have taken out Thanos on her own if he hadn't initiated a blitz and no one else came close. Well, Wu says Captain Marvel, I did argue that Captain Marvel might have been able to take him out alone. And Lewis says her powers also came from an Infinity Stone. Rambo, though, she doesn't seem to want to have anything to do with Captain Marvel because she says something about, like, we're not talking about her. So she's got something maybe against the mention of her mom's old friend, Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel. She doesn't like her for some reason right now, or there's been a falling out, or we're not really sure what's going on. We get a few shots of the ID whiteboard, though, while they're doing this. Agnes still has not been matched with a real person's ID. There's no driver's license under Agnes's little photo sheet. But the mailman, though, does have a matched ID, and we'll see him later in the episode. Rambo gets an idea. They head to the lab where her clothes went after she came out of the anomaly. They're being stored there. Wu and Lewis wonder if they're being mind-controlled to see those clothes. Rambo says, no, they're real. And she shoots at them with Wu's sidearm, and she proves her hypothesis. Wu says, you know, didn't you go in with a Kevlar vest? Monica says Wanda is just rewriting reality. So what happens if they send in something that doesn't require change to fit the era? Back in the Hex, Norm is amazed by a PC. He also comments that it's like Vision speaks the computer's language. Vision wants to surf the internet, and we see like a Commodore 64 boot up screen, and there's a dial-up modem sound. It's really kind of cool, but there's some binary on the screen, and some people on Reddit I saw were theorizing that they may be comic book references to Wanda and Vision adventures from the 60s. Like different comic book Avengers 12 or 13 or whatever, you know. One of the lines, apparently, though, from what they're digging uncovered was from Avengers 40 in 2018, which has to do with Phoenix Force and Jean Grey, who is an X-Men character. And that, I'll just leave that little nugget there. Good job, Reddit, if that ends up taking place. There's a lot of electronic mail waiting for them, though, when they surf the internet, quote unquote. And when it's opened, everyone in the office at Computational Services starts reading along in unison. Real creepy, but they don't seem fazed by the reality-breaking content of the email. It's an email regarding Dr. Lewis's findings. Norm says it's just a joke. Vision, though, is quite disturbed. He seems to test out his abilities on a computer screen, puts his hands next to it, and it blinks out. And then he puts his hands, just like he did to the screen, to Norm's temples, and whoa, breaks him out of a trance, starts seeing a whole bunch of stuff that seems to fit with the information sheet on the whiteboard. If you zoom into the whiteboard information sheet on him, it seems to jive with that. But now we know that the whiteboard can't have been meant to be read by us, because even if this had happened before in the show, it would have been edited out so they wouldn't have been able to see it and take notes on it. He's looking for his phone to call his sister, taking care of his father, and he says, "You have to stop her. She's in my head. None of it is my own, and it hurts." There's no way the audience would have been allowed to see that reality-breaking event, so there's no way for someone to take notes on it, no way for them to put it up on the board, no way for it to be happening over and over again, but maybe that's just a continuity error. Vision puts his hand back on Norm's temples, snaps back into his delusion. Back at the home, Billy's teaching Sparky tricks, and when the boys say they have to show Dad, Wanda says, "Oh no, he's at work." The boys are surprised, though. It's Saturday. Wanda tries to gaslight them into thinking it's Monday, but somehow they know. Tommy says this morning it was Saturday. So again, the boys seem out of her control, right? She doesn't seem to have control over their minds. Wanda switches tactics. She says there was an emergency at the office. She seems to sense that's not good enough, so she says he needed a distraction. And I wonder if she's now being honest with the boys, like he did need a distraction. They ask from what, and they're concerned that it was them, but Wanda says they're not seeing eye to eye right now. Mommy and Daddy aren't seeing eye to eye. Wanda, she's able to give her very special speech, or her first very special speech about family, and she ends it with, "Family is forever." Tommy asks Wanda about having a brother, because she says, you know, "You're his brother and he's yours, and you'll always be that way." She says, "I do. Yeah, he's far away from here, and that makes me sad sometimes." And then Wanda becomes aware of something.
"Hey, Sparky, what's up, boy? Something's scaring him."
"Stay here."
That's when we get the Wanda Vision crossover event from the outside world to the inside world. Wanda heads outside, discovers a drone from the 80s that's being flown in. Monica is piloting it so that they can get an eye on Wanda without it being transformed. The drone is being kept from the broadcast, though. Lewis assumes by Wanda. She says she decides what makes it on the show and what doesn't, so it's being framed out of the shot. Rambo tries talking through the drone, but the image is in black and white. Suddenly, it's showing some color. It's red. Remember the color red? Wanda's eyes glow red. The drone starts having issues. Rather than try to reconnect with Wanda, though, Hayward opts to take the shot. Somehow, he armed the retrofitted drone with a missile, and that really annoys Monica, who was, you know, "I come in peace. If you're going to shoot at the devil, though, you better not miss," right? At the barrier, it's night. Somehow a breach is detected. Alarms go off. In my mind, this is a little bit of a weak point. I wish they would explain how they're alerting us to something coming through the barrier from the other side. Or, it would be very obvious you could set up something on this side of the barrier going in. But how are they detecting through the barrier before anyone comes out of it? And it seems like that's exactly what they've been trying to figure out, what's on the other side the whole time. Anyway, a silhouette becomes visible in the barrier. Then Wanda steps through with the drone, and it's kind of smoking as it was on fire, but it's also glowing red, and she is mad. Hayward says the missile was just a precaution. "You can hardly blame us." Wanda says, "Oh yeah, I can. And this will be their only warning. Leave her alone, and she'll do the same." And by the way, her accent is back. Her Sokovian accent is back a little bit. Hayward says she took the town hostage. Wanda says she's not the one with the guns. Monica says she's the one with control. Wanda is not pleased to see Monica still around, so she starts to conjure up some red magic in her hand, like she's going to blast it at her or something. Monica, though, boldly steps forward. She asserts Wanda is a telepath. She knows she's an ally and that she trusted her to deliver the babies, and she knows she wants to help because she says, you know, "Hey, you knew. You could read my mind. You know that I want to help you." Wanda asks, what could she possibly offer? And Monica says, "What do you want?" It's kind of like when there's a hostage situation, that's kind of like what do you want? Wanda says she has what she wants. She's probably referring to Vision, that no one will ever take it from her again. And she's looking at Hayward when she says it. She does some magic. And he kind of gets nervous because the men holding the guns have their eyes turn red and the gun lasers go from Wanda to Hayward. Wanda heads back to the barrier, but she does something to it with her hand. She makes it more red, and I guess she's making it more impenetrable. but obviously not to her because she walks back inside. Commercial breaks are back. We see another commercial. We took an episode or two off, right? But now we're back with the episode commercial breaks. Just one episode, I guess. We didn't have one proper. We had a re-showing of the watch commercial in last episode. So this one is a kid tips over a glass of red juice on a table, and there's a harried housewife. She tries to sop it up with the next leading brand of paper towel. And the voiceover says, "You need Lagos paper towels." Lagos, Nigeria, place where Wanda's powers went awry, killing civilians. The husband, who was the guy from the other videos, the one who did the original toaster video, and then he was the one wearing the watch. Husbands can use it too, it says. And he knocked over a beer glass, and she sops up the beer. And there's a dripping sound, a really eerie dripping sound. And the voiceover says at the end, "For when you make a mess, you didn't mean to." And I think that has a lot of double meanings.
Lagos, for when you make a mess, you didn't mean to.
Then we go into the next segment. Well, the boys are walking down the street looking for their dog because they ran outside with their mom, even though she told them to stay inside. They run into the mailman who says, "Your mom will let him get far." This guy has a real identity, but he must be nervously pointing out, like, okay, you know, your mom has things under control here. She'll do what she needs to. They stop in front of Agnes's house. She emerges from the bushes with Sparky wrapped in a blue or a purple blanket. And apparently he ate azalea bush leaves and died. And she says she didn't want to bring him to the boys until she wrapped him up. The boys look at each other, and sensing what's coming, Wanda tells them, no, don't age up. She says, "The urge to run is powerful, I know." They say, "It's too sad. You can fix anything, Mom. Fix the dead." Whoa, creepy. She says, "What? No." This revelation, though, seems to actually surprise Agnes. Seems to. She doesn't answer Agnes, but Wanda turns back to the boys and tells them that there are rules in life, not just the Sokovia course, right? Like, there are rules to life, because Agnes wonders, like, "You can do that? You can bring back the dead?" Now, she says, "You can't rush aging because it's convenient, and you can't reverse death no matter how much it makes us sad. Some things are forever." And Billy says, "Wanda told him family's forever." Tommy says, "He's family. Bring him back, Mom." And then at that moment, Vision walks up. And he's like, what's going on? And he comforts the boy, gives the boys a hug, because he realized what's just happened. Back at the house, Wanda's putting away toys, and it appears Vision comes in. He must have just been burying the dog, saying, "It's not often you get a dog and bury it in the same day." Wanda says, "Well, life moves pretty fast out in the suburbs," which seems to be a reference to Ferris Bueller's Day Off to me, where a lot happened in one day in that movie. Vision says, "You know, I talked to Norm." And she's like, "Oh, really?" He says, "I unearthed his suppressed personality and spoke to him free of your oversight." Whoa. She does not look amused at this. He says Norm was in pain. Wanda is concerned, but she appears to be concerned that he's talking to her about this, not that this is actually happening. She tries to go for a distraction. She says, "Can we just..." And Vision says, "What? Watch TV?" He's on to her. She says, "You want to turn in early so you can change everything over again? You can't control me like you do then."
"Can't I?" "I'm going to bed."
"No, we're not done here."
And then it's kind of eerie because credits appear to start rolling over the scene. So we must be in the watching point. We must be actually outside watching someone watch them at this point, right? Because otherwise, we probably wouldn't see the credits unless, I mean, they're appearing in front of them, which is possible. Wanda starts to leave the room. Vision asks, "What's the Maximoff anomaly?" And says, "Whatever it is, she must have only recently become aware of it, and that it probably started out subconsciously. So maybe this is a tip off to us that this is what's happening, is that it's started out, she had no idea, and that she's only just like him, gradually becoming aware of it, but that she doesn't want to deal with it. Wanda leaves the kitchen, tries to avoid the discussion. Now, Vision here is the Boy Scout, right? He raises his voice saying, Norm has a family, and she won't let him reach them. Wanda shouts back, I don't know what you're talking about. Vision then rises from the floor angrily, like he is in fighting mode here. He says, well, he screams, stop lying to me. Wanda says it's all for them, so let her handle it. Vision wants to know what's outside Westview. She says he doesn't want to know, and he says, you don't get to make that choice for me, Wanda. And then she calms down a little bit. She says, you've never talked to me that way before. And she backs down. She floats down from her, she was floating above the floor, and now she floats back down. He says, before what? I can't remember my life before Westview. I'm scared. She tries to reassure him. She's telling him, you're my husband, Tommy and Billy's father. He starts breathing heavy, but then he starts coming down the ground. She says, isn't that enough? And Vision looks away and then asks, why are there no other children in Westview? She says there are, and she just uses the line, just stop it. So that's a callback to Miss Hart, Agnes, and now even Wanda has used the just stop it, stop it. She doesn't answer him. Just asked rhetorically if he thinks that she's controlling everything and that somehow she's in charge of everybody in Westview, walking their dogs, mowing their lawns, getting them to dentist appointments on time. Maybe this is her admission. It's kind of like a meta moment because we've all wondered if she's really in control and then are they having their own lives outside of her purview? My supposition was that we see Jones and Donnie in that one episode, in the birthing episode, that we see them alone. So maybe they are acting out the lives that they've been tasked to as if like on autopilot. And maybe she's not directly controlling every moment. She sort of breaks down, though. She goes from anger to a laugh, saying she doesn't know how any of it started in the first place. Vision tries to be comforting while confronting her, telling her, it's wrong. What you're doing here is wrong. And then a doorbell rings. It surprises Wanda. Vision hangs his head, though, thinking it's another attempt at a distraction. And apparently that's what Wanda thinks he's doing, because she says, I didn't do that. She says he doesn't believe her, but he says he wants to. But at this point, he's ignoring statistics entirely. She opens the door and she's surprised. Darcy Lewis is watching from the outside and she's confused. Vision asks who it is, and there is a shot of a silver-haired man from behind at the door looking in at Wanda. Now, I thought at first maybe it was an aged-up Cap. Remember, Captain America went back in time to be with Peggy, so I thought maybe he's in the, you know, he's in the quote-unquote 80s version of this town. And I thought, no, maybe it's probably not him because this is 2018. I don't know exactly what year this is in the Marvel universe, but nah, that's probably not it. So then I thought, oh wait, it's Aaron Taylor Johnson, the Quicksilver from the Avengers Age of Ultron. Nope. It is a Quicksilver though. The audience cheers and actor Evan Peters is revealed at the door. He played Quicksilver in X-Men Days of Future Past, X-Men Apocalypse, and Dark Phoenix. More importantly, unlike Aaron Taylor Johnson's portrayal, this Quicksilver did not die in Age of Ultron. Wanda, or someone or something else, just pulled a living Pietro out of an alternate universe. Now, Disney now owns the rights to the Fox X-Men franchise and Fox versions of all the Marvel movies, Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, stuff like that. It's a recasting of Pietro. Again, meta. Because it's something old TV shows would do. If they couldn't get back an actor to reprise a role, only occasionally would they point out the role of so-and-so is now being played by someone else. But in this case, he just says, long lost rogue, get the sweet sickest sister to death or what? Darcy's confused, asking just like we did, she recast Pietro? Wanda's confused. She says, Pietro? And he nods, kind of. Like in an affirmative, he doesn't say yes. He just kind of nods like, yeah, I guess so. They hug and we get the moment of comedy to lighten things up when he looks at Vision and says, who's the popsicle? And then please stand by. We are having technical difficulties appears on the screen as the end slate as the laughter or the laugh track and the soundtrack of the episode comes to a close. Okay, so Vision met Pietro in Age of Ultron. Does that matter if he has no recollection before Westview? I guess probably not. Now, is he the Luke Skywalker level surprise that Elizabeth Olsen mentioned that is coming? Or is there another one waiting at the end of the season? Now, I watch Screen Crush with Ryan Airy and New Rock Stars with Eric Voss, and I also watch Super Carlin Brothers with John and Ben Carlin, and I've got a rule that I don't watch their stuff until after I record, but this week, you probably could tell I'm already super late, so I made my notes first, but then I ended up watching it. They've all got some interesting theories about who might be the reveal if it wasn't Evan Peters, if he wasn't the Luke Skywalker level reveal that Olsen was talking about. And I don't think he is, because frankly, I don't think that's as big as Luke Skywalker coming back in Mandalorian. One of my favorite theories, though, was what if Chris Evans comes back? Not as Captain America, but as Johnny Storm, the Human Torch. What if he comes back as one of the Fantastic Four? Even if he doesn't appear in any more shows or something, what if it's just a cameo like that? What if he just shows up as a different, I guess he's not an Avenger, part of the Fantastic Four, part of the now MCU in a different role? He's always said, like, I'm not coming back as Captain America, I'm not coming back. What if he came back in that role? That would be amazing. But there are other more likely possibilities. You know, if somebody like Hugh Jackman showed up, he's been in lots and lots and lots of X-Men movies, including when they went back in time, right? And that could be the case just because everyone does love him as a character, as Wolverine. He's iconic. Could also be Sir Ian McKellen or Sir Patrick Stewart. They were in the original movies as Magneto and Professor X, so that could be something that, you know, that really pulls back at our memories from time. It could be Fassbender or McAvoy as well, maybe. Maybe it could be Famke Janssen. Remember, there was a Jean Grey reference earlier by somebody on Reddit. It could be any of the X-Men. But for me, to reach Luke Skywalker levels, it's got to be somebody we haven't seen in a long while that is now returning to action. So maybe somebody like Reed Richards, I guess. Ewan Gruffudd may have already been mentioned in the show, right? As maybe he's the aerospace engineer. Maybe one of the other Fantastic Four, Johnny Storm, Ben Grimm. After all, we're astronauts. They may have worked for S.W.O.R.D., but whoever it is, it's got to be really huge. But pulling in an X-Men character to so many things, it opens Disney's possibilities to bring all the X-Men in. And if she didn't bring back the dead version of her brother, what if she didn't actually bring back a dead Vision and instead brought him from a different reality? What does bringing them do to our timeline? What does it do to their timeline? And does Disney plan on keeping continuity at all? Does it matter if there's a multiverse? I wonder if this is why Quentin Beck's later claim, Mysterio in the Spider-Man Far From Home movie, maybe when he comes back in this time, or maybe when he says he comes from an alternate universe in this timeline, that it makes sense to Peter Parker and to Nick Fury, Talos. You know, maybe it makes sense because maybe they know about this, because I think this takes place just a little bit before the events of Far From Home. Vision's disbelief of Wanda is surprising because it seems like he supposes that, you know, he's remembering her deceptions, right? When he's talking about, I don't believe you, it seems like he's remembering things a little bit. So if he is a dead, wouldn't he have some latent memories in somewhere in his programming? I mean, couldn't he access that? Maybe she's gradually reforming these connections, and his AI is starting to bring it back. If she can't control him, maybe she really didn't bring him back though, and only thought she did. Although I'll admit that the scene where she saw his dead body form in gray does counter that theory. But if his AI is finding ways to remember the data despite her reconfiguration, maybe this progresses to a point, though, where he finally tries to escape. It sets up an interesting moral dilemma, because what if, you know, Boy Scout Vision finds out that he's supposed to be dead? Does he then try to end his life in Westview? because it's not supposed to be right? Or does Vision start bending the rules? I had another thought. What if Wanda did kill Ralph? And if you go back and look at Agnes's reaction to the part where, you know, she hears that maybe she can bring back people from the dead, maybe what is actually happening here is Agnes maybe was one of the first people that Wanda came in touch with in the town, and her anger killed Ralph, her husband. She always talking about her husband. He's not there. Maybe Ralph was the missing person. It was a he, right? After all, and people say they've never even heard of him. Maybe she blipped him out of existence. She, meaning Wanda. I don't know why Agnes would still know him, or maybe she, maybe there's a part of her that does know that he still exists, or there's a lot to explain there, but I just got this feeling and this impression that maybe she was scared witless, and that maybe she witnessed her doing something terrible, and what we view as her being sneaky is just being straight scared. She could be genuinely scared of what happens if somebody breaks the reality because of what happened to Ralph, right? Maybe Agnes and Ralph are Skrulls, and maybe Ralph was a Skrull, her husband or something, and so maybe that's why the mind control doesn't work on Agnes as well as it does on everybody else, and maybe that's why Agnes doesn't have an actual ID. It could be the reason for the witness protection is a real minor thing, but maybe they just happen to run into Wanda, or maybe Wanda may have sought out Ralph, a Skrull, or Ralph, whoever the witness protection guy is, for information on where Vision's body was being held, and then returned to him when she ended up getting it and killed him in anger. So there's a possibility, at least, that Agnes is not a red herring, but maybe we're being led down a different path, and we think it's because she's in on it. Maybe she's just scared. Some other questions. Do the boys continue to age, and are they actually aging themselves? Is it Wiccan doing it with his power at the request of his brother Speed when they look at each other, right? Maybe it's just one of them doing it. Are they truly autonomous beings? They have speech and culture despite being just a few days old. Now they age themselves up, but they've got a grasp of their power too. So if that's the case with Wiccan willing themselves older, maybe they're not from this dimension either. Wanda and Vision both seem to be begging them not to change, not asking Wanda not to change them. So unless it's Agnes actually doing it, or they end up being Skrulls and changing their forms, that's very unlikely. But I will point out, Agnes, she's present both times the boys age, right? And she presents catalysts each time, first with the lavender spray and then the doghouse. And then just when it looks like they're going to do it a third time, when Sparky eats her azaleas, Wanda steps in. But that would have been a third time, so it would have brought them also to the 15-year-old range, which brings them into teenage territory, the perfect age for young Avengers, which is what they were in the comic books. Something else, the in-universe commercials came back. Lagos, I got to admit, confused me on first watch. I was like, Lagos. But the tagline made it clear that that's for the messes you didn't mean to make. Like this whole thing is for Wanda, apparently. Maybe she didn't mean to make this mess. And I don't know who's causing it, but maybe she's not the villain here. Hayward may not be a villain, but as Darcy comes close to saying he's a bleep, I want to see more Lewis and Wu. I'm not enjoying Monica as much, but she seems way overpowered for this. Like, she just seems too smart, too prepared. But maybe that's part of something that we're going to learn about her. And maybe the test results actually kind of revealed that already. Maybe she already has some unrealized powers. Maybe even a genetic mutation, perhaps. Maybe something that happened when she was out in space. She doesn't play a mutant in the comics, but I trust Disney. They're going to do what's best for the franchise. So maybe they make her into an X-Men. Or maybe she's just got some new powers thanks to Wanda. Speaking of, though, there's a lot of talk about this Evan Peters new Pietro, right? Well, maybe it's not just a barrier that's activating a mutant gene, though. Maybe it was one of the snaps or the CMBR, the cosmic microwave background radiation associated with all those snaps. Thanos first, outside Wakanda. He destroys the Infinity Stones. Hulk brings back the people and Tony Stark eliminates Thanos and his armies. I mean, maybe all of those snaps activated people's latent gene mutations or something. And maybe that's how Disney brings in the X-Men. Or maybe it's straight pulling them in from a new dimension. The meta jokes continue. And next week, we may get a look into the 90s for episode 6. So probably Halloween themed, which is a meta joke in itself, since there will always seem to be an either a Halloween or Thanksgiving or Christmas themed episode for shows in the 80s and 90s and beyond. I mean, so many meta jokes in this episode, and that could mean episode 7 could take us into the aughts, and maybe episode 8 closes us out into the 2000 teens. And either one of those could have some elements of a teaser that ends up showing Wanda talking to camera like Claire Dunphy did in Modern Family, because that show ran from 2009 to 2020, I think. So who knows what's coming next? I do like that there is not a next week on. There is a previously on WandaVision, but there's not a next week on WandaVision. So we are kind of left in the dark. They traditionally on Wednesday or Thursday release a little teaser about what's coming up, which is just enough. It's a real short little blip. And with the trailer information that we have, with the casting information that we have, we kind of know the parts. We just really enjoy seeing how Marvel ends up putting all those parts together. But what do you think? Email us. This is the way phase 4 at gmail.com. Interact with us on Twitter at the way phase 4. Episode 5, directed again by Matt Shakman, written this time by Peter Cameron and Mackenzie Dore. Episode 6 is coming out Friday, February 12th, 2021. This has been This Is The Way, Phase 4's discussion of Season 1, Episode 5 of WandaVision. There are only 3 episodes left. I'm Steve Lascalzo. Until next time, friends.